I'm Alan Cox, for anyone here who doesn't know me. And I wanted to sort of do some closing discussion about what we can be doing about software patents, and to look at some of the issues which perhaps aren't always software and technology based. It's often easier to have a discussion with politicians about economics and about law. And there's one thing George said is really important. George said, code is law, quoting Lawrence Lessig. We can turn this around very usefully when talking to politicians, because if you spend a little time looking at it, you'll discover something else. Law is code. You can hack it just the same way. You can find bugs in it the same way. And it gives you a tool where you can share some of the ideas with politicians. George also touched on the patents as an economic system. A lot of big business likes to go around saying, oh, patents are part of the free market. Patents are an essential of our market economy. Well, economics says something different. Pure economics says that patents are an inefficiency. They screw up your free market. They create monopolies. They create wrong pricing. So we actually only have patents because we choose to distort the market. We choose to be less efficient than we should be. And we do this, in some cases, for social reasons. Because in a perfect free market, a medicine would arise because enough rich people needed it to survive. So we have patents in areas like medicine because we've made a social decision as a society that we want to encourage investment in medical drugs, and we want that investment to occur before people are necessarily dying of it and demanding the drug. That raises a different question, though, which is software is very, very different to a lot of traditional, we describe as heavy industry, or deep scientific research. A medical research firm spends maybe 10 years and half a billion euros looking for a new drug and developing it and getting it approved. So to an organization of that nature, having to spend half a million euros on patents is no big deal. It's a minor expense. In the software world, you only need a second-hand computer, a modem, and a book to become a programmer. There's a lot more to become a good programmer, but the actual financial assets required, rather than the time and effort, are very small indeed. And so for a software company, many of which are very small, patents really don't help, any more than they help the fictitious lone inventor. Because a small company might just about be able to afford to file a patent. It probably can't afford to actually deal with anything like patent searches. And it most definitely cannot afford to fight a patent lawsuit, even if it's in the right. You need €1 million to even think about a patent lawsuit. So all of these dubious patents, when you meet a small company, mean that the large company is basically a government-sponsored blackmail service. You are violating our patent. You can't afford to argue whether our patent is valid. Goodbye. At the same time, if a large company violates the patent of a small company, in most cases, you can't afford it. Even if you can afford to bring the case, the large company will countersue you with some of their bogus patents, at which point you will go bankrupt and they will take your patent from the bankruptcy court. So the small inventor is actually worse off than no patent system at all. You have to be a very big company to benefit from patents and software. And the people who are supporting this are very big companies. Unfortunately, at the moment, very big companies have the ears of government, particularly the unelected end of it, like the Commission. There are other things which really matter about this, one of which is all the countries joining the European Union. At the moment, there is huge scope in countries like the Czech Republic for software business which is being outsourced from Western Europe to be outsourced within the European community, so that money from software goes to improving standards of living in Europe. Less taxpayers' money is needed to do this, more jobs are kept in Europe, and we can do great things for the future of the East. Many of these countries have few real capital resources, but software is ideal for them. There is no shortage of intelligence, there is no shortage of communications, and computers are cheap. But I'd like to explain what's been going on in the US to an extent, because companies, especially large companies, don't like risk. Risk is bad. Risk requires insurance. Risk costs money. Risks can go wrong and embarrassing things happen, like you get fired. So large companies solve patents as a risk problem. How do you do this? You outsource it. Instead of writing your software in the United States, where you might be sued, you file your patent in the United States. You hand your patent under license to a company in a tax haven. The company in the tax haven sets up a Chinese, Taiwanese, Indian, wherever company outside the software patent regime. They write the software, or they write the firmware for the device, whatever. Having done this, they start selling it to redistributors. Some of the distributors happen, just by chance, not necessarily exactly in the real world by chance, to import the product into the United States of America. All the money, except a tiny amount, goes back out of the United States. So all the jobs in this setup are outside of the United States. And the reason they do this is if there is a patent lawsuit, the person who filed the patent says, well, I licensed it to someone, not my problem. The company that made them in China and had all the jobs said, we didn't say you could export it to America. And the tiny little two-man import company importing it into America goes, oh, whoops, oh, we haven't got any money, we're sorry. And they go off and they import something else. So the patent regime actually has the effect of outsourcing jobs because it's too risky to pay an American citizen to do that job. And there is a real danger that this software patent regime will have the same effect in Europe, and all of this stuff which could be going around Europe, improving Europe, building relations between European companies, is going to go over the border outside the patent regime. The second real problem with software patents is more basic, which is that software isn't really a machine. One of the US commentators summed up the US problem very nicely. He said, in US law, everything is either a horse or a newspaper. If it's a horse, then things like patents, trademarks, licensing, all of these things apply to it as a machine, as a device. If it is a newspaper, If it's a newspaper, it's free speech, defending the right of the individual, defending the right to have opinions, the right to free thought. And it gives you, that's better, I can see now. It gives you all of these powers to protect democracy. The problem with software is it's a horse and a newspaper at the same time. In some senses, software becomes part of a machine and a device. In many other cases, though, software is purely thought and ideas. And this is recognized in most of the international treaties. They say that software is a literary work. So when I'm writing a piece of software, it's not just a machine for doing something. It's an expression of mathematics. It's an expression of opinions and beliefs. The other things to look at with this are, think about software patents in terms of everyday things people understand outside of computing. Software, as people have said, is like a recipe. So imagine a patent system where you got sued because you put tomatoes with rice, and someone has a patent on combining tomatoes with rice. Or a system where the patent office considered it good enough to say, I want a patent. I know there's already people combining rice and tomatoes, but I have a new idea, combining rice and tomatoes with a mixer. This is how a lot of these patent claim reads. Obvious idea on the internet. Shops on the internet. Ordering goods by mobile phone. All of these things are obvious idea with technology. The fact software is really about speech and thought creates another problem. I mean, people talk about software patents being overbroad. And there are various people who say, well, it's the patent office's fault. The system is right. We should have software patents, but they should be much narrower. But it's mathematics. Software, at the end of the day, is mathematical expression. And mathematics, language, are all the same thing. And in mathematics, there is only one way to add two numbers together. There is only one real way of doing it. You can write it many ways. You can do it in many different steps. But at the end of the day, adding two numbers together is a fundamental operation. MPEG-3, for example, is a mathematical equation. So why should people be able to patent facts? You can't copyright a fact. Why do they want to be able to patent one? It's very different from a sophisticated or a physical hardware object with a patent on it, where you're patenting something which by its nature is very narrow. There are lots of ways to make a hat. There is only one way to add two numbers together. Oops. So we also need to then think about these things as other literary works, which would be a nonsense if we patented them. Where would we be today if the Sex Pistols had patented punk? Or if Jerry Lee Lewis had patented rhythm and blues? Where would we be if some particular author had patented a style of book? Imagine if there was a patent on the murder mystery, or a patent on detective stories. In fact, given the way the patent office works, you could probably also get a separate patent on detective stories on television, detective stories on digital television, detective stories on interactive television. So for all these other things which are speech, patent system doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make economic sense. It doesn't make plain, simple, common sense when you think about the equivalent examples. So the next an obvious question then is, what do we do about it? Someone actually asked me today, says, what should people be doing about it? And I think the first thing we have to correct for a large number of people is stop asking what should people be doing about it and ask, what am I doing about it? And every person you meet who says, what should we be doing about it? Or what are they doing about it? Ask them, what are you doing about it? Because it is the sum of all of the people which makes the difference. The big companies may pay all the politicians. We still vote for them, at least for now. And perhaps the final observation about that to make is, when I came here, there was a poster on the wall, a big poster with a whole load of hands that said, hands together for democracy. Well, this isn't now just about patents. This is about an unelected piece of European government saying to the Parliament, you voted the wrong way, have another go. I think we owe it to all of the people who fought their way free of the Soviet system not to give them another one.